Going to be reading out of Matthew 2, 13 through 18. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. It's sad how in the Bible we hear over and over again how when some evil person wants to get to the good, they go after the children, which is terribly, terribly sad. Christmas is over, and it's not hard to feel a little bit let down. We go through the Advent and the anticipation, and we build ourselves up to Christmas, and then Christmas comes and gone, and all the wrapping paper's out on the curb, and all the gifts have been opened, and it's just kind of a big anticlimactic letdown. So much so that even in the stores, a week before Christmas even came, they're changing the shelves and gathering up all the Christmas stuff, putting it on sale, and out comes the Valentine's Day paraphernalia that bears with the hearts on them and the candles and the cards and the candies and all those things that go along with Valentine's Day, as if Christmas was just another holiday like Valentine's Day. But Christmas is different. Christmas is special. But it's sad that Christmas is over just like any other holiday. We see it that way. We come back to reality, if you will, to normalcy, if there is any kind of normalcy. We come back to the reality that life is the way it was before Christmas. Still going to work. Or if you're retired, you're still doing whatever it is you do in retirement. You're still worried about your health, your children. You're worried about life. We come back to reality. We see the violence and the wars that are going on around the world and the terrible things that are happening here in this country, and it just kind of snaps us back into that reality where Christmas should be something that is a little bit different. Christmas should be something that, while we celebrate it that one day, it should be carried out throughout the year. Amen. It's the spirit of Christmas, not necessarily Christmas itself. We'd wear ourselves out if Christmas was here all year round. The traffic and the shopping and the meals and all the stuff that goes along with it, it wouldn't be special that one day. But Christmas spirit should stay with us all year round. We need to get away from the busyness that we've experienced over the past few weeks, but we need to realize that life is still what it was before Christmas, and it's still going to be the same afterwards. But we can lighten that up. We can bring hope. We can bring the Christmas spirit throughout the year. We can't just settle. Mary and Joseph couldn't just settle. They found out that after Jesus had been born and things settled down and the wise men came to visit them and gave them their gifts, that they needed to escape to Egypt. And I've always kind of felt like that was one of the reasons why God sent the three wise men with the valuable gifts, the frankincense, the myrrh, and the gold, so that Joseph and Mary had a means to get themselves started in Egypt. But the thing about it is, when Joseph was told by the angel of the Lord that you need to get up gather Mary and the child and escape to Egypt, he didn't hesitate one bit. He immediately got up, gathered them together, gathered what supplies he needed, and took the trip to Egypt. Never questioned God. Never thought twice about it. And that's the way we should be. If God tells you something, tells you to do something, we should immediately drop what we're doing and follow God's lead. Joseph trusted God so much that he didn't think twice about it. He had such great faith that he did what he was told. They were gone for a while in Egypt, and that's a period that we really don't know anything about what happened in Jesus' life. We know that he was growing up like any child, had friends. Of course, you hear all the little stories about the little miracles and things that he did to impress his buddies. We don't know any of that's true. We don't really know anything about what happened from the time that they left Egypt till the time they came back. After Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream and told him, "It's safe now, Herod's gone, you can return to Jerusalem." Joseph packed his family up again and, without question, moved them back towards Jerusalem. But as he got closer, he realized that one of Herod's sons had taken control. And his sons were just as bad, if not worse, than Herod was. So he didn't go to Jerusalem. He went to the region of Galilee, settled in the town of Nazareth, and that's where he raised his family. Sometimes we think about after Christmas and the vacation that we take during Christmas week or whatever, we complain about coming back to reality. We complain about how the world is and how things are happening around the world. But we shouldn't be complaining about it. We should be doing something about it. We should be maintaining that Christmas spirit, that love, that we should be showing one another all year round. So Christmas is over. That day is over. The weeks of Advent, they're over with. We celebrated the prophecies of Isaiah. We talked about the Messiah coming and all those beautiful, wonderful things. The love and the peace and the hope and the joy. And then where does that leave us? We talked about all these things. We thought about all these things during Advent and Christmas. But what we don't realize is that we seem to leave those things in that season of Advent and that Christmas time. We don't carry that through. And we might ask ourselves, where did all that go now that Christmas is over? We should be keeping that peace and that hope and that joy and that love. God established that beachhead, if you will, in the birth of Christ, that starting point. And Christ, in his missionary, taught us how to be good people, taught us how to love and care for one another. But we seem to have forgotten that in society today. We have to trust God. First of all, we have to trust God. Just like when Joseph was told to move twice. We have to trust God. Whatever he tells us to do in life, we have to trust him. Joseph was a man of integrity. You could count on Joseph. And he knew he could count on God. He had such great faith and trust in God that he knew he was going to be taken care of. And again, Joseph is another one of these characters in the Bible that we know very little about. After this incident, we don't really hear about him anymore. We don't know what happened to Joseph. We're pretty sure that in that period when they were in Egypt that Jesus wound up with some brothers, maybe some sisters, because the Bible talks about a family. Your brothers and sisters and your mother, they're waiting outside, and Jesus tells the crowd, "Here are my brothers and my sisters." So we know that he had brothers and sisters, but we don't really know much about Joseph. But we do know that Joseph was a man of integrity. He did not shun Mary when he found out she was pregnant. He went ahead and married her. He took care of her. He listened to God, and he followed God's directions. He was a man of unquestioned integrity. And he had great faith. The book of Hebrews talks about faith and what faith is, what faith is all about. He uses the example of Abraham. Abram at the time was told by God, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you." God didn't even tell him where he was going. But Abram gathered up his stuff and went on a journey to wherever God led him to go. Didn't think twice about it. That's faith. After he had gone a lifetime without a son, a proper son, and finally had one, God told him, "Gather yourself up, gather your son, go to the region of Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice your son to me." This would have had to have been devastating to Abraham, thinking, "I've waited a lifetime for this child, and now you want me to kill him?" But he didn't question it. He got up and he did what God told him to do. He had faith that God would take care of the situation. And God did. You have to trust God. You have to know that he's going to do what's right for you. The second thing we need to realize is that we need to take care of those we love. And those we love should be our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our families, our friends. We should love everybody. We should be willing to care for everybody. But mainly in our families, we need to take care of one another. Joseph took care of his family, not just materially. Oh, he provided well for them, but he also provided for them emotionally and spiritually. Back in those days, the father of the house was the spiritual leader. You could say he was kind of like a preacher to the family. He was the one who guided them in the ways of God. And we should be that way today. We should be supporting one another, not just materially, but emotionally and spiritually. We should be helping one another, guiding one another, attending to every little detail of one another's lives, helping each other. Love. Jesse Jackson tells a story about visiting the University of Southern Mississippi. While touring the campus with the school president, he noticed this young man in a warm-up suit, 6'8", obviously a basketball player, and he was walking along with this young girl about 3'3". Jesse Jackson thought, "Well, this is really odd. We've got this 6'8" basketball player and this little 3'3" girl." So it kind of piqued his interest. So he asked the school president, he says, "What's the story behind this? Do you know?" The president of the university, he said, "Well, the young man is a star basketball player. He was offered scholarships at universities across the country. Turned them down. He's here because only the University of Southern Mississippi offered his sister a scholarship as well. Turns out, when he was a teenager, his parents were killed. He vowed at that time he was going to always take care of his sister. So he turned down scholarships at major universities across the country to go to the University of Southern Mississippi so he could take care of his sister. Jesse Jackson was impressed, and he wanted to meet this young man. And when he asked this young man about taking care of his little sister and how much he appreciated the idea of what he was doing, the young man looked at Jesse Jackson and said, "Those of us who God makes 6'8" have to look out for those he makes 3'3". Jesse Jackson thought to himself, don't you wish that every young person had that kind of love for his or her siblings? We live lives of faith, and we should look out for those we love. We also need to remember the world to whom Christ came into and for which he died. The one reason, and the one reason alone, that Christ came to us was because God so loved the world. He loved us so much that he was willing to give us his Son to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin. And because he did that, we should remember that throughout the year. We should be reminded of that throughout the year. We should love one another the way God loves us. No matter who we are, no matter how crusty the person might be, you should love them anyway. We need to take care of one another. There's kind of a scary, haunting little story by the author W.B. Freeman. Talks about a man walking down a dimly lit street. He hears a scuffle. He realizes there's something going on behind this bush just up the street from where he's at. And he stops dead in his tracks, like most of us would, and thinks to himself, do I need to get involved, or should I maybe go on the other side of the street? Or as the struggle gets more loud, the heavy grunting, the frantic scuffling, and the tearing of fabric, he thinks to himself, maybe I should run and hide and go call the police. Any of us would do the same thing. You start running these things through your mind like, what would I do? What should I do? Do I take care of myself? Or do I get involved? He was obviously frightened for his own safety, worried he might become a statistic, worried about his family. If he wasn't here, who would take care of them? Then finally he resolved he was not going to turn his back. He was going to go take care of this situation, even if it meant his own life. So he got into the scuffle, grabbed the man that was attacking the young girl. They wrestled around on the ground a little bit. The man ran off. He collects himself, pulls himself up from the ground, panting heavily, and looks and sees this little girl still behind this bush, kind of in the shadows. All he could see was an outline. And he didn't want to approach her and scare her any more than she already was, so he kind of quietly said to her, it's okay. The man has left. You're safe now. And there's a little pause. All of a sudden, he hears from the little girl behind the bushes in the shadows, Dad, is that you? Think about that for a minute. If he hadn't gotten up the courage to intervene and help in that struggle, he could have lost his young daughter. That could be any one of us if we were walking down the street or driving down the road and saw something like that going on and we thought to ourselves, I'm not going to get involved. But you should get involved. You should intervene. If you trust God, you know God is going to take care of you. He's going to help you help whoever needs this help. He's going to help you express the love, whether it happens to be one of your own children or somebody else's child, you should be willing to help. And that's part of what's wrong in our society today. We don't want to get involved. Oh, that's their problem. I'm not going to get involved in that. And that's what's got us in the situation that we're in right now, because we didn't want to get involved. We didn't want to stand up and do what is right. There was an old country song years ago that said, "You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." And I'm sorry, folks, we have fallen. Our society has fallen because we don't stand up for anything anymore. Prayer is out of our schools because we didn't stand up for it. We are a Christian minority in this majority in this country, and we didn't stand up. And we still don't stand up. We have to carry that Christmas spirit, that love that God showed to us, out into the world and show people how it's supposed to be done. That is our job.
Hallelujah, God.
Or you might turn a blind eye and lose one of your children, like that man almost did. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus told us that, and we should follow that. Now, Christmas is over. That special day once a year that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But that Christmas spirit should never be over with. We should continue in integrity, in faith, in trust, and we should show one another peace, hope, love, and joy. That's what Christianity is all about. So as we live our daily lives, we should be looking for opportunities to spread that Christmas spirit. We should be looking for opportunities to help one another, help our fellow brothers and sisters. Show that love. Take care of one another. That's what Christ was here for, to take care of us. And we should be willing to take care of one another. So if God tells you to do something, do it. Don't stop and think about it. Just do it. If God tells you that person over there needs someone to talk to them, they are hurting, go over there and introduce yourself. What's the worst thing going to happen? Them tell you to leave them alone? You tried. What's the best thing that could happen? They might appreciate the fact that somebody showed them some love. A stranger on the street said, "Hey, how are you doing today?" It's important. That's how we are supposed to be as Christians. And that's what Christmas is all about. Amen.